Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Wim Lou, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors easily handled the Charlotte Hornets, winning by a score of 125 to 113. The Raptors were able to play all their available players today, which is always a good sign, although it was a little bit concerning heading into this game that Fred VanVleet was listed as out with a knee problem, and Scotty Barnes also sat as well. So maybe this wasn't the result heading into the game, considering the fact that the Raptors have really needed these two guys, but the rest of the team really stepped up. I really like the way Nick leaned into his bench, you know, in terms of wanting to see a performance from his team. He got that from a lot of guys who haven't been performing of late. He was able to extend the rotation. Guys like Yuta Watanabe played 22 minutes. Malachi Flynn, you know, one of the breakout games for him this season, probably his best game of the season, outside of that game against Sacramento where he, you know, had a quick scoring flurry of like 14 points in the fourth quarter or whatever, but that was mostly in garbage time. This game, he played a lot of meaningful moments and was really strong as obviously a backup point guard with Fred not being available, and he played 26 minutes. Delano gave you 17 minutes fresh off of a really strong showing at the G League. But more importantly, I think the Raptors got a very impressive showing from their starting backcourt. And their point guard today was Pascal Siakam. I know it's weird because he's 6'9", and obviously he clearly isn't like traditionally a point guard, but today he did the majority of the ball handling and was phenomenal, quite honestly, at it. Because even though he was facing traps, even though he was still doing a lot of scoring, getting into the post, even though the Hornets were, you know, routinely playing zone and sending two guys at him, Pascal made all the right reads. And when you look at his stat line today of 24 points, 12 assists, and 9 rebounds, coming up one rebound shy of that triple-double, he was awesome. He was awesome in that role. 12 assists to only 3 turnovers as well, by the way. And again, you know, this is a Hornets team that, generally speaking, is not very good defensively, and especially today, based on the way they kind of gambled and played, definitely not a very strong defensive showing from them. But having said that, though, Pascal really stepped in and did a great job as the point guard today. And then Gary Trent Jr., who's been in a bit of a slump of late, I would say he's had a lot of empty shooting nights, comes in, and he just decided that shooting slumps are not in fashion because he just came in and just snapped that. I mean, he took a lot of hard shots. A lot of it was in rhythm, though, for him, and he was hyper-aggressive looking for his offense as usual. Led the team with 21 shot attempts. All right, took 10 threes, and he came away with 32 points and a series of impressive moves from Gary to get the Raptors to win. But honestly, like, I just think it was a good team effort from everybody. Like, you know, everybody who came in did something. You know, even Justin Champagne, who got himself ejected after, you know, a bit of a shoving match with PJ Washington. That was, you know, I guess that's something useful, because if you're going to be real about it, like, you know, between the two of them, I would say that that's a better trade for Toronto than for Hornets, who, you know, do rely on PJ for some bench scoring. But nevertheless, yeah, the Raptors just played great. And, you know, I think first off, the start of the game was great because the Raptors came out really confident, really aggressive offensively. Their defense was, you know, could have been better, I would say, at points in the first half. The Hornets did have 61 points, including 34 in the second quarter. You know, there were some stretches where the Raptors' defense was a little bit porous. But on the whole, when you look at it, the Raptors were really, really sharp offensively. 39 points in the first quarter, 37 points in the second quarter. And I think, you know, a couple of things. Just like, one, they looked much more, like, coordinated. They looked much more composed in terms of how they wanted to attack. Like, first off, Pascal, whenever the Hornets played him in single coverage, he got to the rim and scored at will. There's a play where he drove, made a spin move around two other defenders, and he just finished calmly with a layup at the basket. Like, when you're talking about that level of, like, you know, Swiss cheese defense, like, you're just going to be able to cut right through it. And with Pascal, he was able to do that. And when you honestly, you look at the Hornets team, like, there's not a great one-on-one individual defender, especially at the forward position. So Pascal was able to get his at all times. You know, I thought, for example, you know, the Raptors just also got, like, good contributions from their bench for once, which really helps you sustain your effort. Because as much as, you know, Gary and Pascal can do so much of their scoring, and Gary did a great job today of just, like, looking for his threes, relocating for his threes, you know, the stuff that he's able to do in the mid-range where he's able to attack a closeout, pump fake, step inside, get to the elbow area. You know, he's doing all his regular stuff, and Pascal can do his thing. The other part that was really good was just, like, the bench was able to come in and give them something. And, you know, right away, Nick Nurse went to his bench early, in a, you know, first quarter, You're already seeing three substitutes come into the game. Delano Banton at the 7-minute mark was the first substitute. Then, you know, Champagne comes into the game. Then, you know, Malachi came into the game as well. And all these guys gave them something. You know, Malachi, you know, had a really promising first shift. First half was strange because the whistle was super tight. I think that was a big part of Charlotte's offense today was the fact that they shot 32 free throws. The Raptors shot 29 as well. So it was definitely a game where the whistle was a bit hyperactive. But, you know, outside of three fouls from Malachi in the in his first shift, he played great. He knocked down a corner three. He got to the rim for a quick drive. I think his quickness was really able to pop here today. And not a lot of help at the rim for the Hornets, quite honestly. Their defense seemed predicated on trying to trap the ball on the perimeter. Except they didn't have the rotations on the back end to make up for it. So there were not a lot of stops at the basket. A lot of fouls at the basket, but not a lot of stops. And no traditional shot blocker either, unless you really are that afraid of Mason Plumlee. So, or Mason or Miles? I'm going to say Mason. It is Mason. Malachi was able to get down to the rim, and Delano was able to get down to the rim. And again, some of this was bad defense, right? Like Delano was able to drive, turn the corner after faking a dribble handoff and drive all the way down for a two-handed dunk. Like, that's just straight up bad defense. But still, the Raptors got that boost off the bench, and that really sustained their offense because I felt like even though some guys did play some heavy minutes, right, it would say 39 minutes for Pascal is pretty heavy, but at the same time, like, you know, everybody looked smooth. They looked energized. Nobody looked gassed. Nobody, you know, the last couple of games, for example, we've been watching Fred playing 40-plus, and at the end of the games, he's shooting these threes with no legs whatsoever. It's going wherever. And we know he's a great shooter. We know Fred is a great shooter, but clearly doesn't have the legs for some of these shots right now. And there was none of that. No signs of fatigue. Guys playing, you know, with all-out hustle. I would say Chris Boucher was one of the leaders on that front. He got a start today. He's always fairly productive when he starts. He came in, gave you 12 points, 7 rebounds, and assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, which is already fairly good. But you consider the fact that he gave you that kind of scoring, 12 points, on 3 of 6 shooting from the field, which includes 2 threes. Got to the free throw line 4 times. And especially in the second half when the Hornets, that's the only time where they kind of pushed it a little bit against the Raptors. That's when Chris's energy really popped, coming in there for huge contested rebounds, you know, fighting guys off. A lot of the Hornets were trying to push him around and stuff like that. And you know what, Chris is slim and, you know, everything like that, but can't push this guy around. He's really tough. He's able to, you know, he's willing to play hard. He's willing to hit the deck, take a hard foul, you know, get in there, win jump balls, you know, fight with people for loose balls in a game where the Raptors are up 20. And I thought that approach was great because, you know, clearly this is an opponent where, you know, the Raptors are at season's end, probably going to be, you know, in the play-in tournament, maybe in the conversation to play a team like Charlotte, for example. Charlotte's at 26 and 22. The Raptors are at 23 and 22. So they're actually behind them in the standings, right? But you need to take care of business. You need to show that you're better than some of these teams. And the Raptors came out today, really imposed their length, really played a composed game. And, you know, I think that's the part that has been disappointing of late, is just seeing the Raptors get out to these slow starts, right? I mean, obviously the Charlotte game is like the ultimate example of this where, or not the Charlotte game, the Portland game, where they get down by 30 at halftime to a very shorthanded Blazers team. And, you know, yes, they have the ability to come back, and they showed a lot of heart and guts in coming back. But why are you down 30 in the first place, right? You're putting yourself in a hole. And, you know, we've seen it in other games recently, too, with Milwaukee. They gave up 77 points in the first half. We've seen it, you know, against that Utah team who came in with, like, 8 players and most of them that people have not heard of, and they scored 40 points in the first quarter. And, you know, like, it just they've gotten into a bad trend of late. And I thought today they really started the game strongly. Their defense was there outside of the fouling. Again, that some of that is just due to the way the whistle was being blown. A lot of contests at the rim were just blown as fouls, even though guys were in position with marginal contact. But nevertheless, the Raptors were able to take advantage, especially offensively, and they got themselves a pretty important win to stay above 500, which is, you know, not necessarily the most important thing necessarily, but you know, clearly you don't want to fall under 500, especially at this point in the season when you fought so hard to get back above water, and you know, they're able to maintain it here tonight. So look, a lot of things to sort of get to with the game, and I think really the most appropriate thing is to start with Pascal. So you know, 24 points, the 12 assists, the 9 rebounds. I love the way Pascal played today. He seemed to have a real purpose in terms of where he's going to pick his spots Again, the Hornets defense was not that strong, but they were sending double teams at him. And it's never easy really to handle a double team, but it seemed like Pascal was always able to make the right read, whether the pass was coming over, you know, where the help defenders were coming over and things like this. Pascal was able to anticipate all that and do that tricky balance between waiting and holding the ball long enough to track the double and then finding the right pass and spraying it back out. And I think this is just another example of the continuation of the maturation in his game, because we know what he can do as a scorer, especially when he's getting guarded one-on-one, especially when he's in the post. We've seen him face up a lot better this year, and the mid-range jumpers are there. And today he took a really beautiful end of the shot clock play where, you know, late clock, 5 seconds left, you know, Pascal's got to have the ball in his hands and create something, you know, the situation that most point guards are faced with. And Pascal calmly works, gets to a spot, then spin move, and shoot a fadeaway jumper and switch that like that. That was the kind of flow that Pascal was in. But I think on the whole, though, it's the maturity in this game. The fact that he's able to read where the defense is coming from, you know, direct his teammates to make sure they're in open spots, you know before he makes his move where his options all are. And you know, that's what makes Pascal so special as a point forward. And today, I mean, as the actual point guard, he did such an amazing job distributing the ball, finding guys, trusting in his teammates too, because again, there are a lot of double teams and anything like that from the Charlotte side, and Pascal's able to cut through all that stuff. And you know, even things like, you know, how to counter the zone. You know, the Hornets do play a fair number of zone, although, to be honest, they didn't play with enough defensive intensity today. Charlotte did that. You know, you didn't have that hard of a time solving the zone. We've seen the zone, you know, flummox the Raptors in recent performances where their offense has sort of really tailed off against the zone. And, you know, they were able to really counter it quite well, whether that was, you know, one play. I think it feels like the Raptors really worked on this because they ran it a couple of times against the zone where they would get the ball to someone off top, obviously, just trying to direct traffic. And they would get a screen for a shooter coming up in the corner. And then they had two options, essentially. They have the one option to hit the curling shooter coming out of the corner, maybe for three, maybe for a drive, whatever. But then the other option is that, you know, the guy who sets the screen, he's going to slip to the rim after setting that screen. And that's where, you know, Pascal was able to score easily at the rim for one of those plays. And the Raptors ran it a couple times. It feels like, look, you know, Nick's obviously a very smart coach. The coaching staff is great. Like, you know, they know what they're doing. And so they clearly see the last couple of games. Okay, they've really struggled with zone. How do you solve it? They clearly rehearsed it, and they had a couple of counters today to the point where Charlotte didn't play a lot of zone. Now, of course, I don't think any defense they played today would have really worked based on just how lackadaisical they were about it. But nevertheless, the Raptors were quite prepared. And I'm just very impressed with Pascal's performance on the whole because, you know, it's not easy whatsoever to come in and step in without Fred. The spacing, obviously, you know, is not supposed to be ideal, although the Raptors shot the three beautifully today, 16 of 34, which is 47% from three. The Raptors have really not shot the three well of late. And so they were able to make up for the absence, and Pascal's a big part of that. And Pascal thought played pretty good defense, like outside of like committing a foul on the first play of the game where Miles Bridges drove on him and he kind of swiped in and he got free throws on that. Like, outside of that, like, Pascal played really good defense, you know, was able to switch, contest, you know, rotate, communicate on a lot of these switches. The Raptors obviously playing without a small guard, right? When you look at the starting lineup tonight, Pascal at 6'9", Chris Boucher at 6'11", Precious at 6'9", OG at 6'8", Gary at 6'5". You know, he's the shortest guy, but he's not small by any means. Right, you have such a big lineup. The Raptors are able to switch quite a bit, and that's actually kind of you know, it's a good thing and a bad thing against a team like Charlotte, where they do have quick, small guards in LaMelo and also Terry Rozier. These guys can kind of blow by and get to the rim, and they did it a couple of times here today. But also, like, you know, they do have some size in the middle with Plumlee rolling down to the basket, and the Raptors did need to be coordinated with how they sort of switched and rotated. And their defense was pretty impressive at times, really forcing the Charlotte Hornets into some long possession. So I thought Pascal's leadership was strong, and that's the thing that was a conversation coming into the season, was, you know, who's going to be the leader and things like this. And we know Fred is going to be the leader. There was no doubt about that, and he's shown that this year. But I think what we've maybe not observed as much is sort of Pascal in that leadership role, and today was a great example of him leading the team. And then you got to show a lot of love to Gary Trent, who, I mean, this is a sensational game for him. 32 points, 11 to 21 shooting from the field, 5 of 10 from three, hit 5 of 5 from the free throw line. I mean, just awesome stuff, especially in the third quarter where the Raptors actually started off quite poorly, I thought, because they entered the half with a very strong lead, 15 points. You know, they were scoring at will. I was like, okay, this is a situation where, you know, if you don't come out seriously, like, you can give up the lead. And what did the Raptors do? They came out with some unseriousness at the start of the third quarter where, you know, you have Precious inbounding the ball and it gets stolen by Terry Rozier, who goes in for a layup. Like, come on. That's some basic stuff that you're just, that's a basic mistake, right? You have a situation where Chris Boucher is trying to drive on his guy one-on-one. Pascal's open, not in the corner, but at least, like, you know, along the baseline, he's unguarded. You definitely 100% of the time kick out to Pascal in that situation. He doesn't make the read. Instead, you know, Boucher tries to take his man one-on-one. I think he was getting guarded by Martin, who is a wing, and clearly Boucher wasn't able to really move him or go anywhere and stuff like that. He took a contested shot. The Hornets go the other way. They score. Precious tries to take a guy off the dribble, shoots the ball from the mid-range, an air ball. The Hornets go the other way, score. Like, it was just a weird stretch where the Hornets were able to cut it down to about, they had a 15-point lead, the Raptors did, and then after a few of those empty sequences, especially the sequences where they weren't even able to get back in transition because of how bad some of the misses were. OG also was a bit guilty of this. Two turnovers there early in the third quarter. The Hornets were able to get the lead down to single digits, and the Raptors had to call timeout. And even after the timeout, when Nick called it, I think they got a shot clock violation, the Raptors did. And maybe you credit the Hornets for playing defense for that one play, but also just not good execution by the team coming out of the timeout. So you were a little bit worried for a stretch there that, okay, are they really going to be focused here? Are they really going to, you know, undo all the hard work they did in the first half? And the guy who got them out of that was Gary Trent Jr., who made a number of tough shots in the third quarter. It felt like he really, really took the game over. He was obviously feeling a lot of confidence, definitely has the ultimate green light. Whether that's, like, you know, the catch and shoot threes, whether that's the step back threes, the mid-range jumpers, you know, the drives to the basket with a little teardrop, like, he had it all going. And to the point where at the end of the third quarter, Raptors have the ball last, they clear out and they get the ball to Gary to try to isolate. And what does he do? He gets he catches Plumlee on a switch, the center, and crosses him up, step back jumper, puts it up. He gets fouled as Plumlee closes out late, gets in his airspace. That's a foul. And then someone else also picked up a tech on the Hornets. I think maybe LaMelo or something. So Gary just went to the free throw line and shot four straight free throws, the three plus the one, and made all those. And yeah, he had 14 of his game high 32 points in the third quarter. So I think between the two of those guys there, Pascal and Gary, that kind of gave the Raptors a really solid base as to sort of how they were going to win this game. And from there, like, they took care of their offense. Their defense was decent too, although Gary did miss a couple gambles where, you know, swipe on LaMelo and try to, like, overplay for the turnover and don't get it. And LaMelo's able to drive inside uncontested for the layup. Like, you know, a small kind of things there where, based on his approach, it's a, you know, high risk, high reward kind of approach for Gary, who is among the league leaders in steals. But on the whole, like, those two guys really solidified the offense. And then the rest of the team can kind of just play defense around them, right? And look, the Raptors did not start a bad defensive group whatsoever. I thought Chris and Precious all season have been really good together as a defensive combo. Once again here, they made a lot of plays at the rim, stopping the Hornets. You know, Chris showing a lot of toughness, Precious with a play where, I forget, somebody drove on him. Oh, Ish Smith drove on him in transition. Ish Smith, obviously, is very familiar to Raptor fans. He's probably won the Gerald Henderson Award more than anybody else in the NBA. I'm not even kidding. He's really torched the Raptors. He's such a quick, shifty guard. And so you got a guard trying to drive downhill in transition against a center like Precious. And what happens? Well, Precious, his feet are so quick, even for a guard, that, or even for a big, that a guard is driving at him. And Ish crosses him up and tries to get to his right hand for the little floater or the little layup. And Precious just sticks with him the whole time. He's able to shift, turn his body, put his hands up. And Ish Smith ended up throwing the layup up that was so contested. He like threw it off the top of the glass and the ball rolled over the basket, over the backboard. Like, that's kind of the defense that Precious was playing today. So even though I thought there were a couple of other gambles and other mistakes that Precious made, you know, I thought he played a really solid game. And then, of course, you got OG, who's always quite good defensively, and got the Raptors out on the fast break quite a bit with his defensive activity. So a nice win by the Raptors. And honestly, I have yet to show a lot of love to the Raptors bench, who are really able to come into this game and do a great job, which is something that hasn't been said a lot this season, but they deserve a lot of love too. So on the other side of this break, I am going to discuss the Raptors bench and then hand out the 3 stars for the game. So you've been listening to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm your host, Wim Liu. Continue to recap the Raptors 125-113 win over the Charlotte Hornets. And the starters played well tonight. Obviously, everybody played well. But really, everybody includes the bench, who the Raptors got a lot of great contributions from the second unit today, which is, wow, I mean, it's really nice. I could get used to this, really. You know, for one thing, nobody will be having conversations about Nick and his minutes because of the fact that the guys on the bench actually give them something. And I think it's a two-way street. Look, you can definitely knock Nick for the way he's managed this rotation, and obviously you can't ride these guys as hard as he's done. But at the same time, guys had to come in and do something, right? Guys had to come in and give them something. And to their credit, some of the guys responded, especially the guys who went down to the 905, right? So yesterday's game, the Raptors had obviously had an off day, so they assigned 3 players down to 905. It was Malachi Flynn, it was Delano Banton, and Yuta Watanabe. And they got a nice win over the Westchester Knicks, a nice comeback victory. The Knicks actually played really well in that game, but the Raptors got 31 points from Delano Banton overall, including 23 in the fourth quarter to come from behind and win it. And yeah, it was kind of an extension of that, really. I think those reps, getting them energized, getting them prepared to come play, really helped for the team. You know, you look at what Delano gave you today. 10 points, 3 assists, 3 blocks, 4 of 8 shooting, 2 of 4 from three. By the way, Delano's 3-point shooting has looked a lot better. I remember the first time I saw him live, you know, in a preseason game, I was watching Delano warm up, and him and Scotty and him and Justin, you know, the 3 rookies there, you know, they shoot together a lot. And watching them go through some drills, I was like, I'm starting to feel bad for the rebounders, because I think they had like 4 rebounders and they still had to really chase everything down. Like, it was just guys were missing so many shots. And I felt like Delano couldn't put together 2 makes in a row. Like, I'm not even trying to, like, disparage him whatsoever. I just mean, like, my first impression was, I don't know if this guy, you know, has that skill in his skill set just yet. Not saying he can never knock down a 3, but it was not something that was consistent for him, at least at the start of the year. But right now, watching him warm up, watching him shoot in the game, watching him take step-back jumpers and step-back threes in the win over the 905, with the 905, he's looking much improved, Delano is. And today, you know, another great game for him, Delano coming in to give the Raptors a big spark in 17 minutes. Malachi coming in 26 minutes, you know, actually played more than Delano. And Malachi has definitely not played much. Even when he's gone to 905, he hasn't played well. He's shooting low percentages. But today you got a really good shift from Malachi. The 3-point shooting, maybe not necessarily the main thing he did, 1 for 3. But, you know, he got a pull-up jumper where he crossed this guy up and then pulled up with his defender backpedaling, a long two, a really smooth-looking play from Malachi there. We're able to use his quickness a few times and get downhill. One play where he crossed up Kelly Oubre, who is a very unfocused player, especially in this game. Just felt like he was chucking shots and not playing a lot of defense. Definitely see Kelly play a lot better than he did today. But, yeah, Malachi crossed up Kelly, you know, got Kelly to open up his body, and then Malachi drove down the baseline and got in a little layup to fall too. So just a really good shift from them. And I think, you know, Nick, the way he used them today was, so Delano was his first sub, right? And he just needed to have some ball handling on the floor. The Hornets, they don't really play that much defense overall. I don't know how many times I have to say this, but they do at least pressure the ball. You know, guys like Rozier will really get into guys. Cody Martin will get into guys. Even LaMelo will apply some ball pressure and at times, you know, really try to force some turnovers. And so you do need some solid ball handlers to get you across half court. You know, like, for example, one play, the Raptors gave it to OG to bring it up half, and I think Cody swiped him a little bit, and those extra 2 seconds where OG had to go collect the ball, that led to an 8-second violation where OG wasn't able to bring it up in that before the 16-second mark. And so you kind of just needed some secure ball handling. And so I thought at first, okay, you have Pascal's that one guy, but Pascal's already doing so much for you offensively. You probably just need another ball handler. And that's why, you know, that Delano was the first sub in. He was able to bring the ball up half. Malachi was able to bring the ball up half, you know, not have to, you know, waste some of Pascal's energy. And then, of course, just get guys into their sets. And I thought Malachi did a really good job of that today, you know, working some pick and pops with guys, you know, just making sure that he can feed the post, you know, cut, get off the ball and stuff like that. He just played a good game, like a real solid game as a point guard. And I think Delano has like the fast break element, you know, the sequences where he's able to, you know, rip the ball, change ends of the court so fast, and then, you know, either make a play for himself because he's a really big guard, able to get to the rim and make plays, or, you know, he's just going to, you know, be able to set up other guys. His passing on the fast break is really good. He was able to find Chris Boucher at the rim. Boucher ended up getting fouled. But, you know, he's able to run the fast break quite effectively. And, yeah, both guys came in and gave the Raptors something, which is not something that has happened of late, because what Nick has done is based on the fact that, you know, Delano and Malachi in previous games have really come in and just gave them absolutely nothing. Nick just decided for about 2-3 weeks there to, I'm not going to play any backup point guards. I'm going to skip that position overall. I'm going to give some of those reps to Pascal. I'm going to give some of those reps to Scottie Barnes. And we're going to go with essentially guardless lineups. We've seen the Raptors play five forwards at times. But, you know, these guys were able to go into the 905. And that's part of the reason the whole, you know, G League system exists. And the whole reason it's there for is that, you know, guys, whatever they need, they can go down there and work on their game and come back and look sharp and polished. And, you know, the timing couldn't have worked out better, right? With Fred having to sit out a game, right? And Fred, by the way, was on the sidelines in a jumpsuit, you know, just in a tracksuit, sorry, not a jumpsuit, you know, coaching up guys. I remember the first time out, you could see it very clearly because the way the media is sitting here, you know, they were facing the Raptors bench. And so we could see very clearly in the timeout that Fred is just like gesturing and like waving at Precious and just telling him like exactly what to do, exactly how to cut. And actually, I think a couple of plays later, I'm pretty sure Precious is able to get into the gaps behind the defense against the Hornets zone. And I think he was able to dunk it or make a play at the rim. So maybe that worked, maybe that didn't. That could just be speculation on my part. But in any case, Fred was not fully resting, I would say. There was a lot of coaching going on. You know, he sits very close to the coaching staff. I think actually he is at the seat right closest to the coaches. And he, you know, he's holding a box score and he's, you know, directing guys. I mean, you know, that's Fred. He's too competitive to really sit out a game. Even when he's not playing, he's still trying to contribute. But in any case, though, like, yeah, that's the Raptors were able to get a lot of these minutes from their backup guards. And that's great to see. And hopefully, you know, if they keep it up like this, I think Nick will give them more opportunities. I think, for example, after a game like this, you have to consider when you play next tomorrow that, you know, you extend the rotation once again, especially if Fred is to sit once again. Like, you can have some more trust in knowing some of these guys can come in and do something. And ultimately, these people are human. Like, you know, obviously there's always the urge to see players as superhuman, and they're obviously so great at what they do. They're the very best athletes in the world, or the very best players in the world. But yeah, I mean, they still need confidence like everyone else to be able to do their jobs and do, you know, serve their roles. And yeah, when you look at what Malachi did today, that's got to be a big jolt of confidence, both for Nick in terms of playing him, but also for Malachi himself. I'm sure he hasn't had a lot of moments. Even when he's gone down to 905, he hasn't had that much confidence. There's a game when he went down recently where he got benched for the fourth quarter and saw his team come back. Like, that's not going to inspire a lot of confidence in yourself. Delano, I think, is just overflowing with confidence in general. You know, when you see him go to 905, he's obviously routinely scoring like 30-plus points, and he's definitely dominating at that level. But yeah, these guys played well today. And, you know, even when you look at the deeper end bench guys, so Champagne probably would have played more in this game, but then the ejection happened again. I'm not totally sure, you know, what specifically incited him that much. It seemed like, so I was watching the play happen, right? And the play before that, Champagne ended up on the floor. And I thought he got pushed from behind or something like that. Turns out there was a push, but he kind of just got clipped between two Hornets players. And, you know, there's no call or anything like that. I don't even think the ref saw it, but I saw it. I was like, Champagne's on the floor. Like, he definitely got knocked over. There's no call. I can't believe it. And especially because in that part of the game, the first half, they were calling everything, right? So that was a clear foul, and they didn't call that. There was a lot of contact. So it goes the other way, and then Champagne takes the opportunity to push P.J. Washington in the back. You know, it wasn't that hard of a push. It wasn't like Washington was, like, falling over or anything like that, but Washington turned around and then gave Champagne two pushes. And so they had to stop the game, reviewed it, and both guys got ejected. To be honest, I don't know. That could be a situation for technicals, quite honestly. It's not like any punches were thrown, but hey, listen, they wanted to eject them. That's fine, I guess. Again, I think that was a better trade for Toronto than it was for Charlotte. But in any case, so Champagne didn't play. Utah got his minutes. Utah, I think there were like some real concerning moments, you know, in terms of like, he comes in and he turns the ball over. You know, he gets he's trying to drive in for just to set up a play, and he gets swiped, and the Hornets able to go the other way for a layup. You know, he's making a play at the rim, and he ends up fouling, you know, and stuff like that, where he just wasn't really able to affect the game. Like, Terry Rozier drove right at him, got right by him, got in for a layup. Like, that's Utah's calling card, is his defense. So it was a bad start for him, but I thought he was able to find his rhythm in the game. You know, hit an open three, which was nice to see from him. Missed a pair of free throws, but that was after he got really hard fouled by LaMelo Ball. It was actually quite a scary collision. The Raptors were up 20 at that point. The Raptors were breaking out. They got the ball to Utah under the basket. Utah went up strong, and LaMelo kind of came across him. Not quite like the Grayson Allen on Alex Caruso play. That was obviously like just straight up dirty, and he got suspended. He got ejected, everything like that. Deserved everything Grayson did. But, you know, LaMelo made a hard play on the ball, made a hustle play on the ball, and both guys like crashed quite hard. LaMelo, I thought, got a worse end of it because he actually had his teammate, Book Knight, come over with the secondary contest, and that kind of clipped him midair. He lost his balance. It kind of landed on his back, which really got hurt, although he really bounced right back up and he was okay. And Utah also fell quite hard, and he missed those two free throws. I don't fully blame him for the two missed free throws. That was a lot of contact. Like, it was genuinely like quite loud, especially in an empty building. You could really hear the collisions, especially when they're that violent. But I thought even Utah came in and gave them something. You know, the rebounding was there. He had a play where he, you know, went out for the verticality against Book Knight, who tried to drive in for the dunk, got up there, contested the shot without fouling. The Hornets missed that shot, and the Raptors were able to get out on the other way and transition and score with numbers on the fast break. So, you know, that wasn't like that good of a performance from Utah by any means. I mean, like 3 points, three turnovers, five rebounds, like four fouls. Like, it wasn't the greatest, but, you know, still it was a serviceable performance from Utah. And it wasn't like anybody off the Hornets bench was really popping off either. I would say Book Knight for a bit, but even him, you know, he was attacking a lot of closeouts. Guys were closing out really hard to him. I guess the scouting report for him is that he can shoot. He is a shooter. He is a guard. He's quick. But mostly he was attacking closeouts and getting to the rim. And that was more of the Raptors rotating at the basket. They were just a step late on a couple of plays with Book Knight. But seriously, their second unit gave the Raptors quite a bit. And, you know, they got to a point where they were stretching the lead so much that Nick Nurse said, okay, well, the Hornets have put out their end-of-the-bench guys, I'm going to do the same. And he said, get out the Svi Lami and cheese, mama. This ball game is over. And he put Svi and Isak Bonga into the game. You know, Svi missed two threes, unfortunately. Bonga didn't really do much out there, but it was the end of the game. The Raptors were secure. And, you know, it's nice to have one of these stress-free wins. And I think that's a result of the Raptors taking this game so seriously. So I think for now, the concern is obviously, when can you get Scotty back? When do you get Fred back? And the Raptors do head out on the road. They're going to play in Chicago on Wednesday. They're going to go then to Miami on Saturday, which is probably a really great deal for the Raptors, considering the fact that they leave for Chicago and play there for one night, and then they get to fly right there to Miami, wake up in Miami on Thursday, have an off day on probably on Thursday. Actually, definitely an off day on Thursday, because you definitely get an off day after the back-to-back, no practice. Probably practice Friday. And then you get to spend all of Saturday there too, essentially. So, you know, whoever made the schedule for this specific time, this definitely worked out. I'm sure the Raptors are quite happy to spend some of the last days of January in Miami. And then they also play Atlanta on the following Monday before they return home next Tuesday for Kyle Lowry's return to Toronto, potentially, with Miami coming to town. So, like, they are going on this road trip. So one of the indications are, if these guys are actually like really banged up or really unavailable, they won't usually travel with the team. And both Scotty and Nick and Fred are confirmed to be going on the road trip as per Nick Nurse after the game today. So all's good. You get them some rest, you know, and you show that, you know, you have some depth on the team, and hopefully, you know, this gives the team some confidence, because he gives the team some good vibes, keeps them above 500, and you know, we can, as fans, at least not stress out until probably the next game against Chicago, which even against Chicago, like, this is a relatively, like, no one wants to see injuries at all whatsoever, but, you know, you do catch a bit of a break, right? You're not seeing LaVine, you're not seeing Caruso, you're not seeing Lonzo. You know, hopefully, I mean, the Bulls have some depth, and, you know, it's not gonna be an easy game, but still, you still have the vengeance of DeMar to always account for when you play against him, but still, like, you know, the Raptors should be able to get in there and get a result. The Bulls have, you know, clearly not been as good as they were when they've been fully healthy. So in terms of this game, to wrap up, your three stars of the game. First star for me is Pascal Siakam. 24 points, 9 rebounds, 12 assists. Played great, fantastic basketball. As obviously a non-traditional point guard, he definitely was able to make a lot of great reads, and he was definitely able to just hold the team down. You know, like, again, you're missing Fred. Like, that's so much of your structure. Like, think about how many plays a game the Raptors run for Fred, or even not run for Fred, but like at least, like, you know, have him run for others, right? So you're really just taking all that, all like probably 80, 90 touches a game, and you're just shifting over to another guy, and Pascal's able to handle that. Again, as a forward, to be able to make the kind of plays that he does, I mean, he truly is one of the best playmaking forwards in the game. And I think that, you know, he deserves a lot of credit. His assists this year have really climbed up here. Obviously, he's had a number of games where he's recorded triple doubles. You know, that Bucks game, for example, where against Giannis, he puts up 30, 10, and 10. Like, Pascal's playmaking has really come up here. And I think even though there's less shooting on the team, so that means that more teams are doubling Pascal, Pascal's responded by hurting that strategy. And you're looking at his averages here today, like 21 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Like, it's pretty good. Shooting 48% from the field. You know, the three-point shooting could still be better, but he's getting to the free throw lines 5 times a game. Like, that's pretty good production from a guy who's coming off of shoulder surgery, and right now he's stepping up as a leader, especially in a game where Fred wasn't there. So he's getting the first star. Second star for me is going to go to Gary Trent Jr. 32 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. This is a very classic Norman Powell stat line. Norm was very famous for having like these like high scoring and then like low everything else games. But seriously, you needed the scoring. And I think the way where Gary is a little bit different from Norm is that, you know, Norm is able to get out and transition a little bit better. He's able to get downhill off a curl a little bit better. But for the most part, Gary's able to create a shot better. And he has more in his bag in terms of, like, the footwork to, like, attack a closeout, get himself open. Where, yes, it's an opportunity created for him, but he still needs to do something to improve and get space and create some chances for himself to score. And Gary does such a good job of that. The pull-up jumpers, the pull-up threes, the sidestep threes, drive downhill, the craft to create, to finish and ones, you know, he was great, especially in that third quarter where the Raptors were, you know, threatening to maybe, you know, lose the lead and give the Hornets some confidence or whatever like that. And it was Gary who stepped up and made a ton of shots, got the lead, which got down to single digits, back up to about 20 points. And he capped it perfectly at the end there with the 4-point play between him getting fouled for 3 and then him shooting the extra tactical foul as well. So Gary was great today. And then your third star, there's a lot of places to go with this. I think, honestly, Malachi deserves a lot of love. 11 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds in his comeback game, I would say. I would say Delano has a great chance of getting this too. Obviously, the fact that he was able to come in and change his game, his 3-point shooting has improved. But for me, I was so impressed with the way Chris played. His hustle, his effort was so strong. Obviously, OG can get the chance of this, but OG is probably the third best player tonight. Like, I'm not even going to try to short him necessarily. 24 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, a block. Played great, honestly. There's only a couple of turnovers that was, you know, annoying, really. Like, the fact that he couldn't bring it up half past half, the fact that he got blindsided and the Raptors turned the ball over and Hornets went the other way. These are small things to nitpick, but really for me, I just really admire what Chris did today. So many hustle plays, so many times in the second half where, you know, he was up there winning contested rebounds, you know, getting around the basket, finishing around the basket, going hard to the rim. He hit 2 threes as well. You know, him and Pascal do have a really good chemistry in terms of, like, you know, the help is usually coming from the center. And Chris Boucher is obviously the guy who usually has a center guarding him. That's usually where the help is coming over from. And so it's really imperative, especially for Chris, to be able to be able to knock down these catch and shoot threes, and Pascal was able to find him a couple times, and yeah, and just look at the production. 12 points on 3 of 6 shooting is pretty incredible. Perfect 4-for-4 from the free throw line, and I just love the toughness, because again, a lot of the times the Hornets are trying to rough him up, trying to pressure him, trying to tie him up, trying to be physical with him, and Chris is just not a guy who's going to back down. And I love the hustle that he played with, even when he made mistakes, like when he left his feet to close out. Where LaMelo was open in the corner, the Raptors had to scramble, and Chris really got out there and contested. I mean, the guy was playing so hard. So it's an empty gym, right? So then obviously, like, you know, nobody's in the gym. He closed out so hard that his momentum took him literally a step down the tunnel. Like, there's probably like 10 meters between, there's like almost like a moat around the court, especially in an empty arena. and with no fans to sort of stop his momentum and sort of break his fall or whatever. Like, he literally ran a step into the tunnel. That's how hard he was closing out. But I think his hustle, his effort has been great of late. He's really found his role, and Chris deserves a lot of credit. So in terms of your Gerald Henderson Award winner on the other side, I guess I'll give that to James Bouknight. I mean, you know, I haven't seen too much from him on the rookie this year. Obviously, this has been a really good rookie class. Bouknight was actually one of those guys that drew a lot of hype and attention, especially heading up into the draft. And, you know, there was a lot of talk about, oh, he might be one of the best scorers in this draft. You know, he's able to, you know, get his own bucket. There were talks that maybe he even go as high as like 7. You know, he ends up going 11 to Charlotte. And Charlotte's always picked guys like this. Like, they really love offensive guards. You know, picking Kemba, picking Monk, picking, you know, Jeremy Lamb, LaMelo. They signed Rozier. They got Bouknight. Like, they just love collecting these kind of style of players. But yeah, Bouknight's good. He was good today. He was really good today. And when you look at his numbers overall in the season, hasn't played much. Only 4 points per game, but he was really able to ramp it up there for the Hornets, scoring 18 points on 6-11 shooting off the bench. A lot of drives to the basket, which is not necessarily his game. His game obviously is more the shooting, the outside shooting, even the mid-range shooting, but Bouknight was able to really attack some of these closeouts and get to the basket. So overall, a very solid win for the Raptors, who are going to be obviously heading out on the road to Chicago. So I'll be back after that game to break down what hopefully is a Raptors win over Chicago. Honestly, if they take the same approach they showed here today, if they play defense like they did today, if they execute, especially their counters to the zone, if they're able to just like be as crisp as they were and play through Pascal, and you know, if Gary gives them another great shooting night, like there's a very good chance the Raptors take that one too. But I'm not trying to get ahead of myself. We'll see what happens after tomorrow's game. So thanks everyone for listening. As always, you can find the Raptors Reaction Podcast and all episodes of the Raptor Show wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search for the Raptor Show with Will Liu. Of course, you can also listen to the Raptor Show every Monday to Friday between 2 and 3 p.m. Eastern with myself and Alex Wong. So thanks once again to everyone for listening, and I'll be back tomorrow. Peace.